Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Here's what I want to do. Tonight, we're going to start a new Wednesday night series that's going to run for its course until it's done. There's plenty of content that I'm not going to run out of for a while. So we may be on this for the rest of our Wednesday night services for the year. I don't know. But we're going to start a series on the book of Proverbs. So what I want to do tonight is give you like a flyover. Actually, Zach flew here tonight, so he got like a flyover view of, coming up here. We're going to do like a flyover view of the book of Proverbs as a whole. So I'm not going to really exegete a text tonight. We are going to read Proverbs 1 because for the next few weeks, that's where we're going to be is Proverbs 1. And we're going to split it up into three different sections, verses 1 through 7. And then the other two sections that are there, I can't remember what the breakdown of those verses are. But tonight, I want to give you an overview. This book of the Bible, Proverbs. You can go ahead and turn there because we are going to read Proverbs 1 together. This book has meant so much to me in my life and in my growth, and we'll talk about why and how it has impacted me over the next few weeks to months. But I would venture to say that I've read more Proverbs than any other book in the Bible because there's 31 Proverbs. My grandfather always, he has the discipline. He has read a proverb a day for like 30 or 40 years. And that's something that he instilled in my mom. And then my mom and dad instilled in us as children. If we didn't know what to read, they would say, just read whatever the date is on the calendar, read that proverb. And I do that almost every single day. And I've done that for years. Even when I was doing the 1 year Bible, there's a portion of it that's in Proverbs every single day. But I have for many, many years just read the proverb, not just that, other things as well. I like to read it in addition to other things, but reading that proverb of the day, so much truth, so much wisdom, so much help, so much guidance. And we're going to read Proverbs 1 tonight. And then I'm going to take just a little bit, give me like 20, 30 minutes. And we're just going to kind of give an overview of the book of Proverbs, some different facts about Proverbs, some different things that themes or things that we should note. So Proverbs chapter 1, it says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give, prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that's we're going to talk through that passage next week, that verses 1 through 7, because that tells us, it's an introduction of what Proverbs is all about. What are we going to experience as we continue reading through this book of wisdom? Verse 8, Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot in among us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, and their feet, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. I can't wait to get to this portion of scripture. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when the terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, listen to this, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So many amazing promises in this book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would lead and guide us tonight as we begin to study this book that is in your word that you gave to us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, the wisdom and the guidance that it brings. Open our heart to see and understand what it is that you have for us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. We saw it there multiple times just in that first chapter. And if you read throughout Proverbs, any chapter almost that you choose, you're going to find a theme throughout that is spread, that is woven into this tapestry of 31 chapters. And that word, that key word is wisdom. That word is found in the book of Proverbs 44 times when you read it in the English language. You'll just see in 31 chapters, 44 times. So that means that, you know, it's multiple times sometimes during a chapter. It's just talking about wisdom, wisdom over and over again. There are certain chapters that highlight it more than others, but throughout a consistent theme, it's giving us the ability to walk with wisdom. In fact, the New Testament says that we should walk not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. James says, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. But we don't just ask God for wisdom. We also seek wisdom. We read in the Bible and we understand that as we take these truths and these concepts that have been written down, for they're ancient. These are not just some, you know, fad truth. These are ancient truths. These truths have been working for thousands of years. They worked then and they work now, because truth is always relevant. It doesn't come and go. It always remains and it always has applicable action for our life. So the key word is wisdom. I love that what the book of Proverbs does is giving us wisdom is it gives us the ability to live skillfully, that we would be able to live with skill. So the central theme is wisdom. It's can you put the QR code up there? There we go. Thank you. You're on that. You can scan the QR code on your seat back or on this one. There's a lot of notes that I have tonight. I'm going to try to not chase a bunch of bunny trails, but if you scan, or rabbit trails, if you, maybe I'll chase bunny trails because they're not as big as rabbits. Okay. Bunny trails. See, that was a rabbit trail that I just chased by saying that, and I lost 30 seconds of your time that I will never get back. That's like I listened to a band growing up, and now my boys love them to Madison's complete and total displeasure. They're Christian, but they're goofy, and they have a song that literally says, "I just wasted 10 seconds of your life," and then there's a piano hit. That's it. That's the whole song. So I just wasted 10 seconds of your life. Actually, more than that, because I've been on this for a long time now. Okay, there's a lot of notes on here, and there's a bunch of scriptures that I'm not going to go into tonight, but if you want to study over this stuff, this is a good resource. Okay, Proverbs helps us to live a godly life. Most of the things that I'm going to say tonight and cover are in those notes. That's why I was saying that. You can follow along with me. Proverbs helps us to live a godly life in an ungodly world. We're living in a very ungodly world, a malicious world, a hateful world, angry world, a violent world, a sexually confused world, a segregated in some places world. We need wisdom to be able to live godly, because that's the call for our life. It's not that God would just, you know, have us live segregated ourselves or cloistered. That's a word that just, you know, just all. No. He says, be in the world, but not of the world. So Proverbs gives us the wisdom how to live godly lives in the middle of an ungodly world. So Proverbs is a handbook. Proverbs is a guide. Proverbs is a map to the end result of wisdom. That's what it is. Is you want to know how to get to wisdom? Follow the guide and the map that God laid out. And he gave it to us in his word if we would be obedient and we would apply these things to our lives. And that's why it's important to read these on a daily basis. And I have been shocked over and over again at the relevancy of the proverb of the day. That as I read it, it speaks to where I am in the season that I'm going to be. And then also, as I go and I live my day, it already knew because the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It already knows what you're going to be doing later at work, what you're going to be facing, who you're going to be talking to. And that proverb will give you practical life application to help you live godly in the midst of an ungodly world. So Proverbs gives God's practical instruction for successful living. Successful living in the eyes of God is totally different than successful living in the eyes of the world. The eyes of the world has a definition of success, and God has a definition of success. And as Christians, we should try to live by God's definition of success. And Proverbs gives us how to do that. So wisdom is skill in godly living. I like to say this way: knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you possess. We were eating dinner tonight. We were having taco soup. Praise God. I love taco soup. And Judah said, anybody think there's any fruits in the taco soup tonight? Because he knew that a tomato is a fruit. So he's trying to be funny, right? And it reminded me that wisdom or knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. But wisdom is knowing that it doesn't go in a fruit salad. Right? With grapes and apples and oranges. Now, tomatoes belong in taco soup, and that's about it. Ketchup, spaghetti sauce. I'm not a big tomato guy. But that's wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. Okay, so that is the key theme of Proverbs. And it's already 7:23, and I've only gotten through one thing. Okay, slide two. Or it would be three, I think, on there. Four, maybe. The purpose of Proverbs. That's where we're trying to get to. There we go. The purpose of problems. Here's the purpose. Maybe if I look at the screen instead of my notes, I won't chase as many rabbits. So Proverbs teaches how to deal successfully with life's everyday realities. There's realities that we all face every single day. Here's some of them. Our relationship with God. That should be numero uno. That should be the main focus. The primary thing that we are chasing after is to have a good relationship with God. But that doesn't stop there because once again, we're not just cloistered. We're not just isolated and where we just are monks and we just, you know, only spend time with God. No, we have a relationship with family, with parents and children. And I gave a scripture for each of these. Relationship with God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So that knowledge is getting to know God, right? So Proverbs gives us instruction on how to do that. Relationship with parents and children. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It also talks about that we should not spare the rod and spoil the child. If you love your child, you will discipline them promptly. Okay, so it gives instruction on that. Relationship with neighbors and community, with your friends, you know, with the people that you work with. Proverbs 3:29 says, don't plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully nearby. So relationship with government and authority. Proverbs 8:15, talking, wisdom is talking because wisdom is a spirit. And it says, by me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. It talks about the king's heart being in the hand of the Lord and he turns it wherever he will. So there's instruction for so many things. So here's what Proverbs is. It's a manual for moral and spiritual skill in daily life. Remember, going back to the beginning, it's skillful living, godly, skillful living. It's a manual for moral and spiritual skill in daily life. Okay, the next thing is how Proverbs teaches. How does Proverbs teach us? It teaches us by poetry, parables, pithy questions, and short stories, and wise maxims. Why? Because poetry makes truth memorable. You know, there are certain proverbs that I know, like, above all else, guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. I learned that when I was a young child. Harsh words stir up anger. There's just all these different sayings, you know, honor the Lord with all your possessions, with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. There's these different poetic sayings that Solomon took these wise things and he put them in the form of poetry because poetry makes truth memorable. Things that you can say it and you can quote it over and over again. Without revelation, the people cast off restraint, right? Or with where, yeah, it tarries. And so it makes truth mirable. There's parables. There's parables where Solomon tells the story of the young man that he saw looking through the lattice, and he was going to the harlot's house, and he fell to her sin, and it was like an arrow that struck his liver, and he didn't know that he was going to his death. There's all these different parables, because parables illustrate wisdom in action. You know who else told parables? The greatest teacher that ever lived, Jesus Christ. So pithy questions and short stories, you know what they do? They provoke reflection. We should think about it and go, huh, I never thought about it that way. Is that how I am? Is that a truth in my life? Wise maxims, they compress divine truth into few words. I love this right here. Proverbs is this: it's common sense plus divine perspective. There's so much common sense. I love, you know, the world is poor when it comes to common sense. So many people, common sense is you're rich if you have common sense nowadays. It's a superpower, common sense. But Proverbs will give you so much common sense, but it will also give you divine perspective, which will then help you get back to the root of wisdom, which is skillful living. Okay, the fourth thing, who's the author of Proverbs? Solomon. Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. We just read that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. He was known as Israel's wisest man. How did that come to be? In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, there's a story where God appears to Solomon. He says, you can ask me. You can have anything that you want. And Solomon doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask for long life. He doesn't ask for peace from his enemies. He asks for wisdom. You know why? Because in the book of Proverbs, I believe it's in chapter 4, he says, my father taught me. Now, who was Solomon's father but David? My father taught me, in all you're getting, get wisdom. If you ever get to ask for something, Solomon, ask for wisdom. And when it came time, when God said, you can have anything you want, he said, I remember my dad told me, if I ever get anything, get wisdom. Because with wisdom will come so many other things. You know what God says? Because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for all these other things, I'll bless you with all that too. Now we know Solomon didn't exactly end as well as we would have hoped. He isn't the hero that we want, because he fell. He married foreign wives and tons of them. You know, he had, you know, 700 wives and 300 concubines, or 300 wives and 700 concubines. Anyways, it came out to 1,000 women. It's just like, I just see Solomon like waking up one day and it's like, Solomon, what do you want to do today? I think I'll get married again. The guy just loved weddings, apparently. He's just like, I think I just want another woman in my life. It's like, goodness gracious. He really was led astray. You know it? So anyways, he was gifted by God with extraordinary discernment in that wisdom. And he's the principal contributor and the compiler of Israel's wisdom and literature. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 notes that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. 3,000 of them. Okay? That's way more than is even... Now, Ecclesiastes would also be included in part of that, those writings. But he wrote over 3,000 proverbs. So we don't even have some of them recorded. Psalm 1 Kings 4:32 also says he composed 1,005 songs. Some of them are in the Psalms. Some of them are not. So he was just writing all the time. He was getting married or writing. That's all he did. So Solomon stands as a model of spirit-given wisdom. Okay, next thing, let's talk about this. I found this very interesting. We're going to talk about the different titles for the book Proverbs, because we have the Latin Vulgate, we have the Greek, the Bible that was translated into Greek, we have the Hebrew title, which we're going to start with that because that's the original one. The Hebrew title is Mishlei Shlomo. When we were in Israel, our guide's name was Shlomo. That's actually how you say Solomon in Hebrew. So everybody say Shlomo. Shlomo. In fact, one of the streets in Jerusalem is called King Shlomo Street. Actually, this is so weird. I went to Nashville yesterday with some friends and played in a golf tournament. Big surprise. And I got there late because I got stuck in traffic south of Murfreesboro. And this nice gentleman is driving me out to meet the other guys at the hole, and it's pouring down rain. And all of a sudden I see this bald guy with a beard, and I lock eyes with him, and I'm like, I know that guy. I went to Israel with him. And so he looks at me and looks real funny. And I thought, nah, that wasn't him. There's no way he'd be here, because he lives in Illinois. and saw him at dinner, and it was him. And we actually ran into each other. Hadn't seen each other since we were in Israel, and then we run into each other in Nashville, both far away from home. Anyways, crazy story. Okay, Shlomo, Mishle Shlomo, which means the Proverbs of Solomon. So we shortened it to just Proverbs, but it's called the Proverbs of Solomon. Mishle in Hebrew means sayings, comparisons, or parables. So it's the sayings of Solomon. These are literally just things that Solomon said, and someone was like, you better write that down. You ever, somebody say something's like, I better write that down. While someone's like preaching, or someone just says something really good that you're like, I better write that down. These are just sayings. Solomon, like, he was just so overflowing with wisdom. He'd just say stuff and it just came out like this. Just so wise and so good. Parables. It emphasizes short, vivid statements conveying deep truth that are rooted in Hebrew wisdom and tradition. So the Proverbs of Solomon are Israel's guide for wise living, which we've been grafted in. So it's our guide for wise living as well. All right, let's talk about the Greek and the Latin titles. The Greek title, I'm going to slaughter this and just do an absolute terrible job. But Peromaia Salomontos, which means Proverbs of Solomon. Okay, so there's not much in that. But in the Latin title, it's Liber Proverbiorum, which is Book of Proverbs. But the pro in Latin means for, and verba is word. So it's the reflected idea of many truths condensed into few words. Here's one thing I want you to get about Proverbs tonight. Ready? Proverbs are the art of saying much with little. Isn't that good? Think about how much you just flip to the Book of Proverbs. And you just read one of them. Most of them are standalone sayings. It's not like Proverbs is one thing that you don't really take out of context. There's so many scriptures that we just pluck out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or we take out of John chapter 4. And it's like, you're making that say what you want it to say. Proverbs are standalone truths because they say very much with very few words. Like, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for the lack of justice there is waste. The next scripture says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. That's interesting. I already said that one tonight. Someone needs to hear that tonight. But see how those two proverbs have no connection whatsoever? They're standalone because the writer said much with very few. So it's many truths condensed into few words. You know, if you make a concentrate of something, I remember when I was growing up, it was always so weird. My mom would have these like frozen things in the fridge, and they were like these concentrate juices. And then she would like take them. There was like this peel thing on top, and then she would put it in there and then add water to it, and it would make a lot more juice, but it was concentrated. Proverbs are concentrated truth where it's taken and it's packing so much flavor, so much wisdom, so much guidance into just two lines oftentimes. And it can say so much to our life. Okay. All right. The next thing is the rabbinical title, or what rabbis call it. So it's interesting. There's a Hebrew title, but then the rabbis have their own title as well. They're the teachers of Israel. And in the rabbinical writings, it's known as Sefer Chachma. Now, when you speak Hebrew, you have to get that hairball in the back of your throat. Chachma. Okay. It's not Chachma. It's Chachma. And it means Book of Wisdom. So all the other titles mean Proverbs or Sayings of Solomon, but the rabbis, they don't call it the Proverbs of Solomon. They call it the Book of Wisdom. This is the book where we get skillful application for our life. And so it highlights Proverbs as part of Israel's wisdom tradition, and it focuses on practical righteousness flowing from reverence for God. Okay. Get this. Here's another thing to note of. If you have the notes on your phone, you already have this. Proverbs is not just wise sayings. It's God's wisdom for life. There's lots of wise sayings out there, right? Don't get the cart before the horse. Hang in there like a hair in a biscuit, right? With great power comes great responsibility. I'm stuck on that one. I say that like every Wednesday night now. There's so many. What's some other like just wise things that we say, or just little idioms? Don't count your chickens. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Those are. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. War Eagle and go Gators. But those are some of those things. All of them but Roll Tide are wise sayings, right? But none of them are God's wisdom. There's wise things to say, But only God holds the sum total of wisdom. And this is God's book of wisdom. That's what it is. It's God's wisdom for life. Here's a couple things I want to note, and then I'll begin to close up. Realize that Proverbs, and I've said this on a Sunday morning, and I don't want it to get misconstrued, but I believe it to be true. Proverbs are principles. They're not promises. Okay? There are promises in Scripture that if you do this, this will happen. But Proverbs are principles. And you may say, well, I don't believe that. I believe that they are promises because they're from God. I have seen people raise their children in the way of the Lord, and when they were old, they departed from it. I've seen that happen. Anybody else? And that raises questions with so many people. Why? Because they view Proverbs as promises instead of as principles. Principles work most of the time. Promises work all of the time. These are not things that they're not magic potions. Okay? They're just principles. But I will tell you this. If you will consistently build your life upon godly wisdom principles, you'll see these results take place in your life. God will be faithful. He'll do it. So what Proverbs does is it addresses timeless human experiences. Notice that word timeless, because these are things that were communicated thousands of years ago. They work then, they work now. Timeless human experiences like honesty, diligence, humility, and integrity. So Proverbs has 31 chapters, 915 verses. And obviously we're not going to get to all 31 chapters. We're not going to get to all 915 verses because that would probably take, 915 weeks, to be honest, to go through. But we're going to look at this book. And so I just wanted to give you kind of an overview. Just like when we studied the book of Titus the first week, I wanted to give you an overview. Who wrote it? Who did he write it to? When did he write it? Where did he write it from? Where did he write it to? What's the overflowing theme? The overflowing theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom and integrity and honesty and how to live godly in the midst of an ungodly world. And so chapter one is what we're going to spend the most of our time on for the next couple weeks. It's a clarion call to anyone that would read or listen to the words of this book. It gives us instruction and it gives us guidance. So next week we're going to focus and break down verses 2-7. Then the following week we're going to do verses 8-19. And then the next week we're going to do verses 20-33. And then we'll see what other proverbs the Lord may lead us to. I know that we are going to definitely look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1-9, for sure. But there may be other ones as well that we look at and talk about. But I just wanted to give kind of an overview tonight, and hopefully it kind of whets your appetite for what's to come. If not, don't come next week. Okay? Deal. But hopefully everybody will be back, and I'll remember who was here. No, just kidding. But go ahead and stand your feet with me tonight. Thank you for being here, for your attentiveness. It's awesome worshiping the Lord with you guys and getting to just be the family of God together. So Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your wisdom that you pour out on our life. And I ask that you would help us as we go through this journey on Wednesday nights for the next few weeks to see the truth of what you want to be spoken to. God, your word says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I pray that you would help us to have open ears, that we would not be unwise, we would not be foolish. God, even as we read in chapter 1 tonight, that wisdom she called out, she said, you didn't turn at my rebuke. You wouldn't have any of my correction. God, let that not be so of us, but may we listen and learn and apply our hearts to the wisdom that you have for us to walk in. We give ourselves to you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight that needs a touch from you. We partner our faith together. We believe that you are more than able. You're faithful. You're good. And I ask that you would move on their behalf, and that we would, as we're obedient to do what you've called us to do, that you would just bless us and move in ways that we could never possibly imagine. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you walk in wisdom all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.